get things started in championship weekend. It'll be the Packers and 49ers in the nightcap. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarlane, Chase McCabe alongside. Forever Titan Chris Sanders is on the line. And also, silly underdog champ.
Oh, hey, that sounds good. Say it one more time so the fans can know.
Oh, they heard it. They heard it.
Hey, oh, I got to start my tradition. Hey, buds.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
Hey, buds.
What's going on?
How y'all doing, man? Y'all excited about the game this week?
Since you were the college football guru this year of picking games, who did, and I know, you know, you could, it's easy now after the fact, but if you're being honest, who were you picking last night?
I was picking Clemson, and I hate to say that.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason why I was picking Clemson, because you know how Dabo's playing that underdog role. I mean, he even used some of the quotes I used last year when I coached with the NBA about with Rocky. He used Rocky references, so he was playing that underdog role, and, you know, he was having those teams believing. I mean, there's no way they should have beat Ohio State. Ohio State is just a dominant team. You like that, don't you? But, you know, they shouldn't have beat them, so he just that underdog role.
Hmm. So the team that beat Ohio State that shouldn't have beat them, you then picked them to beat LSU.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Dabo just has those guys ready. I mean, if you look at the first part of the game, it was anybody's game. I mean, Clemson was playing physical. The quarterback play was pretty good. It's just one or two plays, man, that makes the difference, and that's exactly what happened.
So give us your feelings on watching this Titans team make their run to the AFC Championship game. What have you thought thus far?
Man, let me tell you something. You know, I was listening to Derrick Henry's his press conference afterwards, and he said something that really just kind of really – It just puts a stamp on what this Tennessee Titans are doing. He said this. He said, we're locked in. And when you hear guys saying that all around in the locker room, that we're locked in. We're locked in on defense. We're locked in on special teams. We're locked in every facet of the game. That's a scary team to play. I mean, it really, really is. When you're clicking, you believe that you can beat any team. I mean, that's a dangerous team. Look at how they're playing on defense. I mean, we gave the defense line a hard time at the beginning of the season because they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback. Look at what they're doing. They're putting pressure on the quarterback. Now you look at the offensive line. The offensive line was horrible at the beginning of the year. But look it, they're not giving up sacks and they're not having crazy penalties. It's because everybody's locked in from the head to the middle to the bottom. Everybody is locked in, and it's different guys making plays each and every week.
You played with Eddie George. You were in that room with him for many, many years. So you saw him up close and personal every day.
Yeah.
When you see Derrick Henry run, you see what?
He's got a chip on his shoulder. And the reason why he has a chip on his shoulder is because sometimes, you know, you're not just born with a chip on your shoulder. Sometimes you got to go through adversity. And if you look at 2 years ago and even the beginning of last year, you know, he wasn't running hard. Everybody was talking about he's big and he's strong, but he's running soft. And as a man, you're going to get challenged and say, you know what, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you that I can run through somebody's face or run through somebody's lips. I mean, he's playing, and I'm just being honest. I know, you know, to be great, you got to do it consistently. But he's playing at the running back position. I've never seen this before. I've never, ever seen a guy that big, that strong, that physical, and have an edge that big to be like, you know what, I don't care what you do on defense, you can't stop me. That's a dangerous man.
Well, the reason you haven't seen it before is because none of us have seen it before. It's never happened.
No.
I mean, he's doing stuff in the playoffs we've never seen in NFL history.
You know, and that takes everybody, and it's not just him. Look at the offensive line. Look at Saffold. Look at Conklin. Look at Lewan. They struggled. If you look at them cats playing now, they are controlling the line of scrimmage. I mean, those, like when they played Baltimore, those guys were on skates. When they played the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, those guys were on skates. So if they're controlling the line of scrimmage, you look at the line. They average, I don't really know, maybe, what, 300 or 200-some pounds average on the line. And then you got another big guy that weighs 250 coming at you. Something's got to give, and those guys don't want to tackle that guy in the fourth quarter.
By the way, I'm going into the underdogs next year with a chip on my shoulder.
Oh, me? Oh, it ain't going to work?
Oh, yes, it is.
Guaranteed.
I'm going
to
read up.
Let's make a bet right now. If I win it again, which I will, you have to sing the Ohio State fight song, and you have to wear my jersey every day for a week.
That is a deal.
Okay.
Now,
what's
going to happen whenever you lose? So what do you do for me?
Because
you're
going to
lose.
What do you want me to do?
Chase, what do you think?
Well, you don't have a jersey for him to wear.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
He had one when he played with the Brentwood Blaze.
I do have some jerseys. They're not as nice as yours.
What, What kind of jersey was it, like?
Get him a Michigan jersey and make him wear that.
See, there you go.
We'll figure something out.
You got a women's UT shirt. I mean, that'll work.
Wow. Okay, we will figure something out, and we'll make sure that bet is on.
Let's do it, man.
For next season. So,
yes, sir.
When you see the receivers, and I said this yesterday, I don't know how they've done this, but it is amazing. They have not needed to kick field goals in any of this. They have not attempted one field goal in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback has gone on the road to Foxborough and to Baltimore and beaten the defending Super Bowl champs and the number one team in the league this year without throwing for 100 yards.
Crazy.
Think about it. He threw for 72 yards and 88 yards in two games, and they're in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that – I mean, that just goes
amazing.
More to what we're saying, especially in today's game.
Yeah.
This is not when you're playing.
Yeah.
This is today's game. And you've got a quarterback who hasn't thrown for 100 yards yet in a playoff game, and they're in the AFC title game.
That's really crazy. I mean, he threw for 88 last week, but what's the identity of this Tennessee Titans team? It's running the ball first, and then we'll throw the pass when we have to. But here's the thing, Darren. Even though they're not throwing the ball that much, look at when they're throwing the ball, their impact plays. I mean, look at the deep pass to Raymond, the touchdown. Then you have the touchdown to Sanu. I mean, not Sanu. What am I saying, Sanu? Janu Smith. So they're not just passes, they're impact plays. And if you look at in 1999 when we were on our run to the Super Bowl, you know how many passes we completed against the Buffalo Bills? I think five, and I caught one. So
yeah, it was a dull game until the end.
It was a dull game. It was awful because our identity was, we're going to run the ball, we're going to control the line of scrimmage, and if we throw the ball, we're going to hope that somebody catches the pass. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans are doing, and they're winning. That's their formula. They know their identity. They know what they have to do. It starts with Coach Vrabel. It starts with Dean Pease. It starts with Arthur Smith. And those guys didn't just buy into the system. They trust into the system, and that's why these guys are doing so well.
Okay, I want to talk about the mentality. You just brought up the Super Bowl run that you were a part of.
Yes.
Just talk about what it's like when you get going like this, where you have that invincible feeling and you know something special is happening and everybody believes and all the cliches you can imagine. Yeah. Everybody's pulling the rope together and all that stuff. What is it like in the room whenever you have this level of confidence going?
Man, it's strictly business. I mean, you know, when we played the Buffalo Bills, you know, that was our first time in the playoffs in a long, long time. So we were still kind of unsure. We were like, well, if we win, we win, we lose, we've done something great. But when we went to Indianapolis that next week and we was going against Peyton Manning, who was tearing up the league, and we beat them, that next Monday when we came to practice and we had to play the Jacksonville Jaguars, we wasn't hoping to win. We knew we were going to win.
And by the way, let's set this in perspective for people who don't remember that season.
Mm-hmm.
You guys finished 13-3 and not win the division.
That's crazy.
Jacksonville was 14-2, and their only two losses were to you guys.
Yeah, and we just had an attitude. I mean, and, you know, we joke around. Like, at the beginning of the season, guys are joking around and laughing and having fun. But when we came back that Monday and we had a walkthrough and a practice, there was no laughing in the locker room. Everybody was serious in films, and everything we did was with a purpose. I'm telling you, I've been around a lot of football teams, but I've never been around a team like that to say, you know what, we got unfinished business. Yeah, we've done some great things against the Bills. Yeah, we beat the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, that's great and everything, but we are going down to Jacksonville, and we are going to put our foot on their chest, and that's exactly what we did. And just to be honest with you, Jacksonville, and I hate to say this, Jacksonville was the better team. They actually were the better team. They had Tony Boselli. They had a great quarterback. They had a phenomenal defense. They had two all-pro receivers. They had a defense that was real stingy. They were number one, and they were like number five or six in defense and number one or two in offense. So they were the better team. But we understood that they were the better team. We had the respect. But there's one thing that we didn't do. We didn't fear them. We didn't fear those guys. I didn't fear their defensive backs. I knew that if I had a chance to catch a ball, you're not going to stop me. And if you look at this Tennessee Titans team today, they respect their opponent, but they don't fear these cats. I know they got to go down and play Kansas City, who's everybody's talking about they're going to win. But don't be surprised if the Tennessee Titans come out that stadium with a W.
Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver.
Yes, sir.
And silly underdog pick champion here on Darren
Dyer. time. Let the people know.
I just said it.
One more time.
Silly underdog pick champion. There you go.
You didn't put no stank on it, though.
Oh, come on. That was stank enough. I'm still a little bitter. But how important, something that we've heard Mike Vrabel say is that he wants the guys to keep doing what got them there. They keep doing what they've been doing.
Yeah.
How important is it to kind of stay in that same mindset, but also how difficult is it to kind of stay that way and not look too far ahead?
Yeah, but see, if you go and you try to do things that you're not supposed to be doing, then it creates pressure. You know, there's no pressure on us because everybody's picking everybody else. So the pressure actually is on the Kansas City Chiefs. If we just if the Tennessee Titans just keep playing great defense, keep playing offense like the way they've been doing, and not do anything above what they're not supposed to do, then they're definitely going to win. But if guys say, "Well, I got to do this. I got to try to do above and beyond where I'm called to do, or out of my assignment, or not play disciplined football." Then all of a sudden you look up, it's 21-0, and then that's when the pressure sets in. You just got to read your keys, do what you're supposed to do, and know that you're capable of beating these guys.
We had Jeff Fisher on last week, and one thing he brought up was the next year, 2000, when you guys lost to the Ravens,
that hurt.
What was so difficult is that was a better team. You guys at that point had become a better team and had that feeling of, okay, we're going back. You just made the run of the Super Bowl. And we're going back. And the hardest part for him and the coaching staff was kind of bringing everybody back down to earth of, hey, we still have to get there. It's not just going to be handed to us. Right. Did you notice that was kind of difficult to go off the Super Bowl run and being so close and then having a better team the next year and having to try and keep everybody level-headed?
No, I mean, everybody was level-headed. But the one thing we had when we came off that Super Bowl loss is everybody was still hungry. I mean, when you have 70 to 80 guys that are still hungry, then you don't have to tell guys to come into practice. You don't have to tell guys to watch film. You don't have to tell guys to they don't have to show up to mandatory meetings or mandatory workouts or OTAs. Guys just showed up is because guys were hungry. We got a little bit of taste of the Super Bowl. We got a little bit of taste of the playoffs, but we wasn't satisfied. And when you have a team that's not satisfied, that wants to prove the whole world wrong, then guys are going to want to do their job and guys want to go and win. And you're right, man. That next year, we had a better team. We ran through the NFL. We were beating up people. But the one thing that we didn't beat up was the Baltimore Ravens. And I think the reason why we didn't beat the Baltimore Ravens, it wasn't that we wasn't hungry or we didn't prepare or we wasn't excited about playing them. It's because when you take that week off, I'm telling you, you lose a lot of bit of your fundamentals and you lose a little bit of the speed of the game.
So much has been said that this team has taken on Mike Vrabel's personality. And he's got that former player in him. He won three Super Bowls with the Patriots. But you kind of see that, and there's a little bit of the chip on the shoulder and stuff like that. How important is it for them to do that, and why has that worked? Why do you think Vrabel's been successful with that?
He's been very successful is because he lived it. I mean, I went to The Ohio State University with Vrabel, and when Vrabel came in, everybody saying he was too big, he's too slow, he can't play. So all his life he had the underdog mentality. But what he did is he mastered his craft of playing the defensive end and saying, you know what, whatever you say, whatever you try to, limitations you put on me, I'm not listening to it. So he's been through the process. He's been through adversity. He's been through all those things. So now he's in coaching, and it's just like riding a bike. Yeah, you said I can't win. Yeah, you said I can't play. Yeah, you said we don't have a quarterback. Yeah, you said all this crazy stuff. So he lived it. So all the players are watching him, how he handles adversity. And when you watch your head coach handle adversity in a positive way, you start to take on that mentality of, man, I can beat anybody. You start taking that on that mentality that if I just do my job, it puts us in position to win. So he's lived it, and he's showing these guys that if I can make it through it, then you can make it through it.
Chris, I can remember in 1999 that there was some point in that season where everybody knew Steve McNair was the guy.
Right.
That was his team. That he took over that year. And I know there were times Neil had to play because of injury. Do you see some similarities with how Steve asserted himself as the guy to how Ryan Tannehill has asserted himself as the guy for this team?
Yeah, I think that when Steve Mack took ownership of the team, this was when Neil O'Donnell went on that stretch of winning games. And then he comes in the Pittsburgh games and he throws me a pass on fourth down, and then he throws it to Aaron Kinney for a touchdown. When he left that stadium in Pittsburgh, he had a smirk on his face. And he earned the respect of his players and said, you know what, I'm going to go out there and win ball games for our team. And if you look at Tannehill, it's the same thing. you know, when he got started getting those wins under his belt, he was like, you know what, follow me and let me take this team to victory. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Tannehill being like that one match that's in a matchbox. When it's lit, it lights a fire on all the other matches. And that's exactly what Tannehill's been doing. He's been lighting a fire on offense. He's been lighting a fire on defense. When you're running through a defensive back when they played the Kansas City Chiefs for a two-point conversion and you spike the ball in his face, you take on that personality of your quarterback to say, you know what, if he's playing tough and he's giving everything he has and he's laying his life down for me, then I'm going to lay my life down for others. So that's exactly what's happening.
The key to winning in Kansas City is what, in your opinion?
Man, just like what we talked about earlier, it's just carry the momentum. You know, because here's the deal. The pressure's not on the Tennessee Titans. The pressure is on the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, or Andy Reid, is 1-8 against the Titans. You know, then 3 years ago they lost to him. And everybody's saying that, you know, Andy Reid can't win the big games. And, you know, he's took these teams to the playoffs, but he can't win the big games. So if the Tennessee Titans just jump on them quick and carry the momentum, now the pressure starts setting on them, and then that's when they make those mistakes. So the key word is carry the momentum.
I like it. We will carry the momentum all week.
Let's go, big dog.
We'll see what happens. And then into next season for Silly Underdogs, and I'm going to take you down.
Ah, let's go do it, baby.
Good to talk to you, as always.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Forever Titan Chris Sanders, always appreciate his visits. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnie, and Chase next.